ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 8। Chapter is entitled The Story of Pingala. Text number 13. Padapi yuvatim bhikshur naspriche daravimapi sprishankariva badhyeta करिण्या अंगसंगतः। पदापि युवतीं भिक्षुर् न स्पृशे दारवीमपि स्पृशन्करीव बध्येत करिण्या अंगसंगतः। पदापि युवतीं भिक्षुर् न स्पृशे दारवीमपि स्पृशन्करीव बध्येत करिण्या अंगसंगतः। Matajis? Padapi vatim bhikshur naspriche daravimapi स्पृशंकरीव बध्येत करिण्यांगसंगत। पदा विद द फुट अपि इवन युवतीम ए यंग गर्ल भिक्षु ए सेंटली मेंडिकेंट न नॉट स्पृशेत should touch darvim made of wood api even sprishan touching kari the elephant eva like badhyeta becomes captured karinya of the she elephant anga sangatah by contact with the body. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A saintly person should never touch a young girl. In fact, he should not even let his foot touch a wooden doll in the shape of a woman. By bodily contact with a woman, he will surely be captured by illusion. Just as the elephant is captured by the she elephant, due to his desire to touch her body. Purport. Elephants are captured in the jungle in the following way. A large hole is dug and then covered over with grass, leaves, mud and so on. Then a she-elephant is exhibited in front of the male elephant, who chases after her with lusty desire, falls into the hole and is captured. The lesson to be learned from the elephant is that the desire to relish the touch sensation is certainly the cause of ruining one's life. An intelligent person, noting the elephant's great propensity to sport with the she-elephant, will take this excellent example to heart. Therefore, somehow or other, one should avoid being cheated by allurement to the sensuous form of woman. One should not allow one's mind to be lost in lusty dreams of sex pleasure. There are various types of sense gratification to be enjoyed between men and women, including speaking, contemplating, touching, sexual intercourse, etc. And all of these constitute the network of illusion by which one is helplessly bound like an animal. Somehow or other, one should remain aloof from sense gratification in the form of sex pleasure. Otherwise, there is no possibility of understanding the spiritual world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. This is not the most comfortable verse to speak on. But we'll try to discuss. This is a section where the Avadhut Brahman is trying to learn lessons from various things that he's observing in nature. So yesterday and the day before, we saw how he learned from the honeybee, two types of honeybee. Today he's learning from the elephant, how the elephant is captured by his desire to relish the touch sensation. So I will be speaking based on two articles that appeared in Back to Audit. One was written by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. One was written by Urmila Mataji. Both came in the BTG. So, and they made some nice, interesting insights. So I'll try to share them here. So as we see, as Kali Yuga is progressing, with every year we find rising number of abuses, sexual abuses, child abuses. Even in India, the land of Dharma, where women are supposed to be more protected than other countries, we find the number of cases are increasing. Sometimes we feel the number of cases of abuse in India are more than the other countries. Especially in media, we find this is how India is portrayed nowadays. Cities like Delhi and Bombay, megapolis, These cities are considered as the capital of abuses. Women cannot go out safely, especially in the night. And we find horrifying rape incidents. Women are killed. The husband is killed. Boyfriend is killed. So in such a case, there is mass outrage when such an event happens. And what to do, how to deal with it. Some people suggest stricter punishments. As soon as you find such a case, he should be hanged to death or he should be given life imprisonment, several different forms of punishment. Police should be given more authority. And the cases shouldn't get delayed in the courts for several years. Immediate resolution should come up. And all kinds of suggestions we find, which are all essential. But unfortunately, none of these leaders are able to exactly pinpoint what exactly is the issue. Where is the problem lying? And whom to blame? How to deal with it? What could be the solution? We can't figure out exactly how to find the solution to this. So in this article, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu compares it to Shurpanakha, Ramayana character Shurpanakha. So in the Ramayana we find how Ravan got attracted to Sita upon hearing her description from Shurpanakha, and he wanted to kidnap her, driven by lust to enjoy her. So several people advised him. Marich advised him not to unnecessarily go in for this project. You will be doomed, because Ram's power he already witnessed, and he didn't want his brother Ravan to be killed by Ram. So he warned him. Ram is extremely powerful. Although he may look like a human being, he can kill you. But Ravan was not convinced. He went and kidnapped Sita. So a person with lust is compared to Ravan. Our scriptures say lust is like Ravan-like tendencies, and we have to curb that lust. But what we forget is one who incited Ravan, Shurpanakha in this case. Who is Shurpanakha in our life? Who is inciting us? So the modern Shurpanakha takes the form of commercial televisions, internet, media. Anyone who incites our lust within us, that is the modern Shurpanakha. And the more we expose ourselves to these vibrations, the more the Ravan tendencies within us will come out. And if we don't control them, we will be killed by Ram. Ram will destroy us. So in today's modern advertisements, to advertise any product, we use subtle or gross forms of sexual images. For most products, sex becomes the tool to advertise products. Or in extreme cases, sex becomes the product that is advertised. Especially in cases of pornographic content material. That becomes the main product to be sold. Commercialization of sex. So one great author made a statement after observing such rampant advertisement. He said, "The sexual exposure we face is unparalleled in the history of mankind. Because pornography and sex have such a forceful pull on us, if left unchecked, our society will erode before our own eyes. We will have millions of people who have sexual addictions." This is Dr. Kevin Skinner in a book called Treating Pornographic Addiction. So in the Gita we find Krishna talking about lust in two ways. The sacred divine form of lust. In the 7th chapter we find Krishna says, Kamosmi Bharatarshava. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. So when sexual tendency is dovetailed in divine union, then that becomes the cause of liberation. Can become the cause of liberation. And such act is non-different from me, Krishna says. Kamosmi. And in other places, Krishna talks about the dangers of uncontrolled lust. So this is controlled way of dealing with lust. Uncontrolled lust has several other consequences. Especially in the third chapter we find, we will discuss it later, third chapter Krishna goes on to great extent to describe the dangers of lust, how lust is compared to fire and other things, how it can destroy our knowledge. So we all are victims of lust. No one is spared. Everyone has lust to some degree or the other, and the culture of a society decides how the people are able to control their lust. In a cultureless society, lust is considered fashionable, and people enjoy displaying their lust, displaying their anger, displaying greed. Greed is advertised in the name of ambition, uncontrolled, ambitious desires, wanting to fulfill so many goals. That is advertised as ambition, but it is usually greed. Anger expressed vocally, verbally, physically is considered a sign of courage and masculinity. And lust also, when expressed openly, is considered fashionable. People admire such people. That is the symptom of a society lacking good culture. Whereas in a cultured society, these things are kept under control and even try to remove, eradicate completely. So, simply being aware of the legal punishments that can come to a person upon exhibiting lust is not enough to stop that person from indulging in that activity. We may impose stricter punishments, stricter laws, and try to instill fear in a person who is afflicted with these kind of negative emotions. But in spite of all this information, the disease continues. Right? Ravan was aware of Ram's knowledge. People advised him about Ram's knowledge, Ram's power. Still he was unable to control. That's how it happens with everyone. Punishments may be there in several forms, severe forms. Like in several Middle East countries, they cut off the hand, I heard. If someone is indulging in abuse, they cut off their hand, cut off their legs. But in India, it is not there. Probably that is the reason. To some extent, we can control these kind of activities, but that doesn't actually cure the disease. And when the force within is too much, then any amount of awareness about the laws will not stop the person to commit the crime. So simply legal strictures are not enough to cure the problem. We need something deeper. Now, when this issue is raised among the leaders, people have an obsession with being politically correct. It is not considered politically correct to speak openly against the exhibition of lust, the exhibition of such tendencies. We will beat around the bush and say, oh, this should be done, that should be done. But no one can openly declare, speak against, say for example, pornography or women's liberalization. These things are not considered, attractive proposals. So, to remain politically correct, we ignore any real corrective reforms. Because when we actually pinpoint the disease, then we can actually take some measures to cure the problem. As a result, we all we have is simply wishy-washy solutions. and the problem continues, the disease continues. Women continue to get abused. Men become victims of lust, and there is no real solution. So we find whenever such an event happens, any horrible crime happens, we blame the, definitely we blame the culprit, but we forget to look at both sides. Usually men are guilty of committing the crime, and women are guilty of not taking enough measures to prevent the crime. When this point is raised, no one likes to hear this, especially women. So in one analogy, one article he writes, he gives the example of a room filled with combustible substance. A few years ago we had in our Madhuram kitchen, someone after cooking, the evening cooking, they didn't turn off the gas cylinder properly. Some utensil was kept over the pipe and the regulator got tilted and the gas was leaking. So this happened about 6:30 p.m. and a small amount of gas was leaking, and by midnight it was choked up with gas. The neighbors alerted the security, then our devotees went and cleared the whole thing. But if they would have even turned on the switch, that would have ignited a spark and caused an explosion. So he writes, men are like, men filled with lust are like a room filled with combustible elements. And one spark is enough. Innocently you may do, intentionally you may do, unknowingly you may do, that will cause an explosion. So in today's culture, due to such massive bombardment through media, everyone is a victim of lust, filled with these kind of images, thoughts of enjoyment, and one small spark is enough. That can happen in the form of women approaching them, women not dressing properly, or any image, anything, small little spark is enough to create that explosion. And then there is huge outcry, outrage. How can this happen? Why can't men control themselves? All those things are happening. So therefore, both culture means training both boys and girls, both men and women. Not there only the perpetrators of the crime are responsible and everyone else can roam around freely, liberalization and freedom, in the name of freedom and liberalization, we can do anything, dress any way we want, speak any way we want, behave any way we want. That doesn't work. Both are responsible, but usually one class ends up becoming the victims of the problem. Both are victims, but externally, one class of women usually are the victims, physical victims. So therefore, culture means train both. Train the men in controlling the lust, train the women in controlling their lust, and restrict their association. Like Jayadvaita Maharaj was speaking, only in grihastha ashram they come together. That too within restricted limits. All other three ashrams, there is no free mixing between men and women. So in the Gita we find, the third chapter, Arjuna asks this question. Anichchannapi varshneya baladivaniyojita. What is the thing that drives a human being to commit a sinful act even without his desire, even against his desire? You know this is wrong, this is improper. Still, some force within us is pushing us to commit that act. What is that force? Arjuna asks. And Krishna says, Kamayesha Krodhayesha Rajo Guna Samudbhava. So starting from this verse, 337, till the end of the chapter, 6-7 verses, Krishna talks about only lust. He says, that which is born of the contact with the mode of passion is lust. And it turns into anger, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. All-devouring enemy. So Prabhupada writes, it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. So both lust and anger, are born of mode of passion and ignorance. And the more we associate with these two modes, the more these qualities will grow within us. Therefore, our four regulative principles are meant to help us rise above these modes and come to the level of the mode of goodness, where these things will remain under control. Or at least, they won't grow. Then Krishna says, he gives different degrees of lust. Fire covered with smoke, mirror covered by dust, and embryo covered by the womb. 3 degrees of lust. So Prabhupada compares, fire covered by smoke is like human beings. Lust is under control. Mirror covered by dust is like birds and beasts. And smoke fire covered by fire, sorry, embryo covered by womb is the trees and plants. So in trees and plants, he writes, the trees and plants have been put in such a condition of life by such a great exhibition of lust that they are almost devoid of consciousness. So earlier, when they were humans, probably, they exhibited lust to such a degree that they had to take birth in plant species. And in human form, it is like fire covered by smoke, which is, it can be easily dealt with. In human form of life, one can conquer this enemy of lust by the cultivation of Krishna consciousness under able guidance. So that is the advantage we have in the association of devotees in this human form of life. If we follow proper principles, these things can be controlled and even eliminated completely. Then Krishna says, in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire, jnanino nityavairana kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena nalena cha. Dushpurena, it is never satisfied. The more you put fire, fuel into it, the more it burns. Initially, when you put fuel, it may appear to have control. It may appear to be controlled. But then again, it turns into a blazing fire. So, while one enjoys sense gratification, Prabhupada writes, it may be that there is some feeling of happiness in the beginning, for a few moments. But actually, that so-called happiness is the ultimate enemy of the sense enjoyer. Because that creates a craving, and further hankering for more enjoyment. So initially this much can satisfy us. The next time we want this much, then we want this much. And it becomes endless, uncontrolled. Then Krishna says, the senses, the mind and the intelligence, these are the sitting places of lust in a body. He compares it to a battlefield. So battlefield, enemy occupies certain positions, strategic positions. And if you want to defeat the enemy, we need to know where the enemy is located. So senses, mind and intelligence, these are the sitting places of lust. And through them, the lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So if you want to conquer lust, we need to treat these three places. We need to attack these three places and defeat the enemy. And then Krishna says, in the very beginning, how to control lust? In the very beginning, this great symbol of lust should be controlled by regulating the senses. Because if not controlled, this can destroy our knowledge and realization. Lust can cover knowledge and our realization. So, by regulating the senses. So, first method Krishna says is, regulate the senses. And then he suggests, by 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 deliberate spiritual intelligence. Evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatma namatana. Jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. By deliberate spiritual intelligence, one can conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. And Prabhupada says, the desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. So in this way, Krishna gives an elaborate description of the dangers of lust and how to control it. And by the practices and the methods of Krishna consciousness, we can control. Sadhana bhakti is the process by which we control all these negative emotions. And then in the other article, it is explained how in a proper cultured society, we have these two support systems. In a ideal varnashram system, there are support systems that help us regulate and control lust. So the amazing creation of Krishna is that this mundane sexuality is connected to reproduction. And through this connection, when we make it Krishna conscious, that can open the path of liberation. So there is a link. Sex and reproduction is there. And anyone has to opt for one of the two options of sacrifice. One is the sacrifice of celibacy. Depending on our nature and psychophysical nature, a human being can adopt the sacrifice of celibacy or the sacrifice of marriage and parenting. This is varnashram system. So brahmacharya, grihastha ashram are the two ways of dealing with lust. And whatever suits us, we have to go for that option. Now, each ashram, each support system offers a certain amount of pleasure and certain amount of austerities. Each person in the material world has a predestined amount of happiness and pain. That is fixed. The amount of, like Prahlad Maharaj says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukham Indriyakam Daitya Deha Yoga, amount of happiness and pain that we experience in life is fixed. What type of happiness and pain we will go through, that we can change to some extent. But the overall amount, content of happiness is fixed and pain. Now, depending on our nature, whatever suits us, we can choose which type of happiness and pleasure I want to accept. Whether the happiness and austerities, pleasures and austerities of brahmacharya life, or the pleasures and austerities of the grihastha life. When one is getting the pleasure suited for one's own ashram, the concomitant austerities become joyful. If I have chosen the right ashram based on my psychophysical nature, then the austerities become joyful and the pain is bearable. But one who accepts the austerities has the right to enjoy the facilities of that ashram. And one who accepts the pleasures without following the austerities of that ashram is taking a big risk. And that will lead to sinful reaction. Krishna says in the Gita, evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartayati haya aghayur indriyaramo mogham partha sajivati. One who accepts pleasures, one who does not follow the human form of life, the cycle of sacrifice described in the Vedas, leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So when you accept pleasures of a certain ashram, the austerities have to be followed. And if we are following a certain austerity, pleasure of that ashram is our birthright, is our rightful claim. That is how the system is designed. And if we don't do, if we accept only the pleasure, then that is a sign of hypocrisy. Like Krishna says, mithya chara sauchate, karmendriyani samyamya yavaste manasasma. Indriyarthan vimudhatma mithya chara sauchate. One who externally appears to control the senses, but internally within the mind, enjoying the sense objects, meditating on enjoying the objects, is a mithyachari, is a false pretender. So we can't avoid, we have to accept both. Austerities and pleasure of either ashram come together. Now in the support system of celibacy, we understand in a brahmachari ashram, we have to stay away from, we follow sexual restraint. And we have to study Shastra, we have to control our food intake, control our possessions, keep our possessions to a minimum, and we can't accumulate money and other things beyond a certain limit. Whatever bare minimum is needed, we can have. But beyond a certain, we can't just keep on piling, like yesterday Maharaj was saying, piling cash and have bank accounts having several lakhs of rupees. So that is the austerity of the brahmacharya ashram. And we have to avoid sexual indulgence, thoughts in the level of thoughts, words, mind, action. So this is the ideal varanashram, brahmacharya ashram. Now in the modern context, it takes a perverted form. You have bachelors who are not brahmacharis, unmarried people, but not practicing celibacy. So such people will not get married, or they will delay marriage. Delay marriage well past the age of fertility and desire, peak fertility and desire. There could be genuine cases where for some reason they are unable to marry. That's another case. But we are talking about in general, in Kali Yuga, this tendency is common. No marriage. We don't want to take the responsibility of marriage and family life. And we just keep delaying. Career is important and earning money is more important. Delay it, unlimited, delay it unrestrictedly. So that is the anomaly, that is the perverted form we find in, perverted brahmacharya form, so-called brahmacharya in modern context. And the grihastha ashram also has a similar kind of perverted form. So in a typical grihastha ashram, we find husband and wife coming together, bearing children, taking the responsibility of family, father or mother earning money, and with hard struggle they have to earn money and fulfill the family responsibilities. And in this way, they practice keeping Krishna in the center, they practice grihastha ashram, grihastha life. The perverted form in modern context, Kali Yuga, is it can take two perverted forms. One is they remain married, but they won't bear children artificially, either through contraception, through abortion. They don't want to take the responsibility of raising children. That is also, so they are avoiding sacrifice, the austerity of the grihastha ashram, but wanting to enjoy the pleasures of the grihastha ashram. It is said in Europe, especially in countries like Italy, the birth rate is so low that the government is fearing that the whole population will be wiped out in a few decades. No one wants to bear children. And one of the austerities of grihastha ashram is charity. So in America, the statistics show that although America is one of the richest countries, only 3% of their wealth is given in charity. Average American gives only 3, not more than 3%. Whereas Rupa Goswami's formula is 50% of their income. So that is one austerity which people try to avoid in Kali Yuga. And the other anomaly, other perverted form is, you stay together, a man and a woman will stay together without getting married. Which means they don't want to take the responsibility of grihastha life, don't want to take the responsibility of raising children and family life. And enjoy as long as you can, and the moment there is some differences of opinion, separate. So again, there is a statistic in Europe. It is said 28% of children in Sweden, this is 2010, 28% of children are born outside marriage. That's a big number. In America, 40% of children are born outside marriage, compared to 4% in 1960. 4 to 40, 10 times. So this is the situation of our modern times, how people trying to avoid the responsibility, but at the same time want to enjoy the pleasures of that particular lifestyle. So in another article he writes how we should, whenever we are faced with the attack of lust or anger or any other such emotions, we should activate our pause button. I had spoken this in an earlier class, but so activating our pause button, whenever we say we see a billboard or an image that is provoking us, we should have a custom made internal pause button. We should be activated immediately as soon as we get provoked by these kind of emotions. That pause button can take various forms. Simplest form is just take deep breaths. Whenever someone provokes us, abuses us, or we feel lusty tendency, anger, greed, all those things, take deep breaths and it is likely to subside. A better thing is recall some wisdom passage that we have read, some devotional passage from Shastra scripture, and contemplate on the dangers of these kind of emotions. Reciting an inspiring scriptural verse, there are so many shlokas that talk about the dangers of lust. Jayadvaita Maharaj quoted that verse, which one? Yamunacharya's verse, Prahlad's verse, there are so many verses that describe the danger of lust. Chanting some divine mantra, of course we have the Hare Krishna mantra which we chant, but besides that we can try some other mantras that help us control these kind of emotions. Repeating a traditional prayer, like we have songs of the Acharyas praying for Krishna's protection. As soon as this emotion comes, this button should immediately activate and we should apply it, the pause button. Or we can have our own prayers, contextual custom prayers. In Manas Shiksha, this is a book by Raghunath Das Goswami, he compares these six enemies, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, delusion, to highway robbers. So a traveler is going along the road and these robbers are there waiting for you to loot you. And as soon as you reach a secluded place, they will attack you. All six of them sometimes, or maybe one of them. And they will attack you and loot you of your valuables. So in one verse, Raghunath Das Goswami compares the tendency to gossip to a prostitute who is trying to steal away the jewel of Krishna prema within our heart. Mundane gossip is compared to a prostitute. Similarly, lust, anger, greed, all these are highway robbers who are trying to loot you. And the best way to counteract them is to call out the names of devotees of Krishna. Loudly call out the names of Rupa Raghunas, Rupa Sanatan Goswamis, the six Goswamis, all our Acharyas. And that way we can immediately counteract the effects of lust and other enemies. So that way we should, so all these prayers, especially during the appearance and disappearance days of our acharyas, we should especially focus on praying to them. It's not just another event in the calendar where we do some pushpanjali, which is good, which is a ritual, is necessary. But more than that, we need to render heartfelt prayers. Because these people can actually help. These are the people who can actually provide help and help us come out of these vicious habits. In this series of books by Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, Spiritual Warrior series, there is one book dedicated to transforming lust into love. He says any exhibition of lust or any other emotion, negative emotion, is actually a longing for love. So someone is lusty or angry or greedy, it's actually his deep heartfelt hankering for love, because he's missing that experience, emotional experience. That takes all these perverted forms of lust, anger, greed. So when we become victim, when someone is displaying these qualities, we should actually feel compassion, he writes. Instead of getting angry or getting disturbed, we should identify his cry. What is he missing? Because there is no greater force than love in this world, he writes. Although sometimes it may appear these people are ready to conquer the whole world, all these terrorists and abusers are taking over the world. But if the force of love is greater than the force of lust, anger, greed, then everything will come back to normal. So our process of sadhana bhakti is to revive that original love. In one purport, Prabhupada writes, this is the fifth canto, he talks about the adiras, the original love. So similar to this purport of elephant, this is quite similar but in its original form. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse. This is a section of Anantadev, the wives of the serpents in the lower planetary systems. They are serving Anantadev. Anantadev is the person on whose hood all these universes are resting. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janma Dhyasya Yataha. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adiras, the original lusty feeling which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Vraja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. So we have the Krishna book, Krishna book and the Srimad Bhagavatam, that discusses all these pastimes. The more we discuss these pastimes, the more these emotions can be curbed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, the more we discuss Krishna's demon killing pastimes, then all these, especially in the sadhaka stage, until the stage of anartha nivritti, one should selectively, purposefully hear the demon killing pastimes, he writes. And in this way, get over, control all these vicious tendencies. So I'll stop here. We won't take any questions. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.